tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we have Thomas Nordegg, guitar tech for Steve Vai, Dweezil Zappa, Frank Zappa, and Duran Duran. He's also the inventor of a guitar system he calls Sonica. We'll be speaking with him about this system and his years on the road tonight. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. It's a great night. It's nice and warm here in sunny California, though we could use a little bit more water. Scott, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing good. I am super excited about tonight's show. This is someone that I have been wanting to get on the show for a long time. I've always seen him at different little shows, either LA Amp Show or NAMM, and just never had the time to actually go up and grab him or the guts to do it. So I did it this year at NAMM, and here he is, like a month later. So super excited to have him here.
Great.
So just so you guys know, on my YouTube channel, I just posted up a behind-the-scenes clip of a show we had 3 weeks ago with Kenji Oda as a sitar player. Mm-hmm. So Jeff's featured in that, along with his good buddy JP Durand. And I'll also be posting up some videos of Thomas Nordegg doing his Sonica demo at his house and just showing off the whole entire thing. So which is
pretty neat. I'm waiting to hear that. I want to hear that.
Really neat. And then just look for a new demo. Also, hopefully, I'll be shooting that this week. The new Audio Technica System 10 Stomp Box, which is a really cool little system. So I'll be showing that off very soon.
Thomas, you got to check that out because they put the receiver in the pedal board. You put your receiver in the pedal board. It makes it's a really cool thing that they did, and you can do switching as two outputs. You can But we'll get into it.
Yeah, when the video gets released.
Yeah.
And then just for the folks listening live, if you want to call in and ask Thomas a question, you can dial 323-203-0815, or you can join us on our chat room on flowguitarenthusiast.com. And then I guess I'll be quiet real quick here one more time, but I just want to mention next week's guest is Dick Boak from CF Martin Company, which is really cool. So he's like the man over at Martin.
That'll be great. Also, too, I just want to mention, I got a chance to, if you get a chance, check out Scott's video on the mic shootout that he did. It was pretty interesting, and I was talking to our engineer over here, Ronan. We were listening to it the other day, and it's like you could hear the difference. It was pretty interesting, and I love that MK4. That Sennheiser MK4 is really a beaut. So. But anyway, everybody check that out. It's on his Selenium channel.
Yes. Was there anything else you've been up to, Jeff? It sounds like you're maybe going to be doing some recording soon.
Yes, I'm going to be doing some guitar work, so I will let you know more when it gets a little bit farther along. But it looks like I'm going to be doing a bunch of acoustic guitar stuff and all those 12 strings that I restrung and the 6 strings that I brought in on the last few shows. I'm going to be using all of that stuff, so it should be kind of a fun thing to do.
Very cool. Well, why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back with Thomas.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700, or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. Sweetwater is proud to partner with The Flow in bringing you the latest and greatest in all guitar-related things, be it tone, be it artists and musicians, their secrets on their tone, amplification, and live performance. We at Sweetwater are just as passionate as the folks on The Flow in bringing you what we consider to be the best in pro audio equipment and guitar and PA gear. Give us a call and we'll discuss gear whenever you like. Our number here is 800-222-4700. And again, you can catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. I'm Aaron Raby, and thanks again for listening.
Mm-hmm. amigos. Hello, everyone. My name is Billy Sheehan, and I'm from the Winery Dogs, and you're watching the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts.
Rock and roll!
Nice. I had to throw in Mike Matthews. That's my favorite.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce our guest tonight, Thomas Nordig. He has worked with everybody from Frank Zappa to Dweezil Zappa to Duran Duran to a guy that's maybe not as known as well, but I absolutely love him, Eric Sardinas. I've seen you working for him, too. And then, who could we forget? Mr. Steve Vai. He's been with him for 15 years, since 1999. Right. So, welcome, Thomas.
Hi there. Hey, wonderful. That's a totally first-time experience for me. I don't really talk much. I think I don't. And to be on the radio, wow, 68 years, 68 times around the sun it took me to get here.
Well,
excellent.
Honestly, well-deserved. I mean,
Thank you.
You know, I don't know how many concerts I've seen you in there on the backstage, you know, sitting there with your LEDs and all kinds of fun little lights for Mr. Vai. So it's fun to have you here. But, you know, before we get kind of into some of the, you brought in some spectacular guitars that you've worked on and kind of go along with your Sonica system. Let's kind of go over a little bit of your history. What kind of led you into being a guitar tech, and kind of what brought you to Frank Zappa?
I would say when I was little in Vienna, Austria, sort of first music, Elvis Presley, Harry Belafonte, and American music, of course, when I was in my teens. And then the Beatles came, and that changed not only mine, but the whole life of the whole world. They covered the world with music like nobody. So I wanted also to play in a band, and so I did. And then I heard about a band in Vienna called The Slaves that had a guitar player, a gypsy guitarist that couldn't read or write, but play accordingly. And he was just smoking, so I saw him, and I decided, well, I don't really need to play here. And one thing led to another, and I ended up becoming his manager. And in 72, I came to the United States with him, his girlfriend, and his stepsister, which wasn't planned originally. And we started in New York City, and it was an adventure to this day, I must say. Hanging out, went to clubs, of course, every night, and in the first week, already we ran into a band called High Voltage from California, like nine-piece band, one section smoking, a black girl singer front, and, well, they heard Carl play. Charlie Ratzer was my guy's name, and hired him right on the spot, and I went along. I was roadie, and then actually became tour manager, and that was, you wouldn't believe what I've been told many times to write a book, and I wish I would, because pretty adventurous how all this turned out. With him, I was like 3 years in the States, so crisscross, and got a record deal in Atlanta, Georgia. Just all brings memories back. And I went back to Vienna. We did a tour with American Musicians in Austria. That went well. And 2 years later, I went back in 76 with Peter Wolf, like Mozart at four, Prodigy kind of guy in Vienna, keyboard player. And we worked together before with Charlie. He was supposed to come along with me and Charlie Ratzer the first time around in 72. But he came then with me, and we set our goal to go to L.A. because of the music, of course, and ended up, again, very adventurous through half of America. And got a phone. We managed to get an apartment, a phone, right in Hollywood, and hang out at the one and only guitar center that there was back then, the opposite of where it's right now in Sunset, every day trying out keyboards and stuff and exchanging phone numbers. And I'd say a month and a half into it, phone rang, and, hi, this is Frank Zappa. Can I talk to Peter Wolf? And right after the phone call, we went up. Peter auditioned 2 days and got the gig. And so I was hired then to be the roadie for him. Tommy Morris was the other keyboard player Frank hired. Ed Mann, percussion, Terry Bozio on drums, Pat O'Hearn on bass, and Adrian Belew on guitar. So that was what an experience for me, you know, that was my really first step into, well, I guess big time, one could say, in more than one way. I remember the first show we did in 77, we started, was, second show was in Las Vegas at the original Aladdin Theater, and so for me, all was brand new. When I saw the assembly, I thought, wow, when are they going to be ever empty? You know, with two trucks, Frank owned his own sound, his own lights. And the next day in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think it was, the production manager comes in the morning to everybody and says, "Well, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but our tour manager killed himself last night. The bass player found him in the bathtub. He took all the money and lost it." And
wow.
Which was, wait a minute, what is this? But anyway, so along those lines, but with Frank, my years with Frank, 6.5 years I was there, best time of my life on any respect. Smartest man, simplest man, not one word too much, and whatever he said, he was always right. And work ethics, like work, and never ended. And Steve Vai, I certainly see that, because when I joined Frank, Adrian was the guitar player, and then Warren Cucurullo came on the tablet, and he's been my associate and partner for 40 years or forever. With him, after I left Frank, we started with Missing Persons from day one till ground zero, and after that, 15 years, Duran Duran. When was that? Well, wait a minute. But it's, and over those years, I started with Vai already in 99. And with Toto, Steve Lukather did, when Jeff Porcaro died, a friend of mine said, Luke needs a tech because Bob Bradshaw was, the wife was expecting, and so he didn't, always goes, with Luke, of course. So I didn't even call back, but then I said, no, call. So I went up there, and Luke, of course, the man with a golden heart, as I like to describe him, he was so nice and personable, everything. So we had the best time. I mean, Luke, what can I say? You know, he's in a league of his own on every level. And that was the tour. Simon Phillips was a drummer. And at the last show, which was at the Universal Amphitheater here in L.A., back then, Universal Amphitheater, we did a benefit for Jeff Porcaro and the family. And ask me who was not on that stage. Dirk Schubert, Schubert Sounds, were doing the sound, and there's a picture in his office from the Eagles. We're talking about 40 artists, and I had the privilege to give George Harrison a Les Paul Gold Top to play with a little help of my friends at the end. And, wow, what can I say? And Bob Bradshaw and myself actually struck up a few-minute conversation with George. So nice, super nice, super nice, humble. What can I say?
Well, Frank is probably one of the most prolific artists out there. He's, did over 60 albums.
Yeah.
How many of those albums were you
before,
part of?
When he died, I think 53, he had 77 albums with content that is unmatched. Forget the number, Just really the godfather of contemporary music. I mean, hey, who had Ringo Starr play him portray Frank Zappa in 200 Motels,
That's
Frank,
right.
everything.
But now, working with him, I've always known him as a big pioneer in terms of experimenting and stuff. What did you learn, and what did you develop with Frank with his setup and with his equipment? Because he used to use a lot of bizarre things.
I have to straighten the one misnomer out here. I wasn't really, except for one day, actually, I was never Frank's guitar tech, per se. I mean, I helped out, and we all, it was what you asked me what I learned with Frank. Easy answer, everything. And on top of that, it was with Frank a different dynamic with Frank. Everybody in the crew, you were setting up, I was in the keyboards, helping with the bass and guitar. Everybody had their thing, but helped everybody else. We all came out in the morning from the bus and got the lights up with the Vermettes, got the truss up, got the PA, Frank's PA set up. So you learned their hands-on. And Frank was always suggesting, saying, well, there should be, why isn't there a school for roadies, And Gail Zappa, Frank's wife, after Frank has passed away, she had a thing going on for a while. It was called, in Frank's manier, of course, ZIT, Zappa Institute of Technology. And it was held at Joe's Garage. I've held a few classes there, a few years, where there were, from high schools and a whole bunch, but always like 40 people that learned from tour managers came in, lighting designers, guitar techs, the whole trade, and to inspire people. There's a few really good people that came out of that over the years. So, Frank, and like I said, I was not per se guitar tech. What I was keyboard tech first, and then I was for like 160 50 shows, I'd say, two, 3 years. I did a video cameraman, a horn handheld camera, and of course Frank, as he inspired every person that was around him, he gave me the, the spirit to like really try to forge here. I had those were not chip cameras, was like a tube camera still. I had one lens on there. So in Europe, I bought a semi fisheye, got the two car clamps, made a little hinge there, put the lenses in with two springs, and so I could pop on and off in fly using the Comet tailing, you know. And so I did a video from hell is something that Frank put out. This is all my shoot, my footage, you know.
Oh, wow.
Steve Vai. Yeah, and then Frank came to my house because I had all remote and all, you know, technology. And all. So he came and filmed there. So that's on that video. There's a few things out. And Gail Zappa is releasing now. There's so much footage out. And Frank always let me really go, like, right there. I had my full Velcro outfit with the red straps to wear the cable. Because the good part was that Frank had his recording truck, and I had the camera and the picture feed went to the recording truck, and the guy mixed a really good mix on it. So, you know, proper mix as opposed to just an ambience camera. So we got the whole house mixed there. Wow. And a lot of footage. So that's Frank, you know, well, what can I say? There's the best, you know, on all levels. It's just amazing.
Well, how many years were you with Frank when Steve was playing with him, Steve Vai?
I started in 77, yeah, 76 actually, end of 76, 77, and then ended in 83, and Vai came in like 80, I think.
Yeah, and he was there till about 82.
Yeah.
So, out of curiosity, I mean, seeing him then, did you know he was going to become what he became?
Yeah, always. I mean, that was, like I said, I was shooting that. Always, I little I knew, but I was thinking, what is he? He was like ripping it next to Frank there, you know, and he had these short mini girl pants on and all that. And oh, still to this date, the best looking guitarist. He's got that on top of everything.
He's got the cheekbones.
No, the first time I remember him is he used to do those transcriptions of solos on guitar player. This was amazing.
This is how he got to Frank. He transcribed Frank Zappa's solo and sent him to Frank. Frank saw it, flew him in, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
But, Steve is so knowledgeable and it goes so deep, you know. And he, I think his own aspiration is, well, the guitar playing is obviously, that's one thing, but he wants to be appreciated and recognized as a composer, too. He's got a whole bunch of orchestra pieces. I went twice already with him to Holland. And interestingly, on one piece last year, wonderful piece, and it starts with, I don't think the note's correct now, but da-da-da-dee, and then he stays on that last note for 15 minutes with the sustainer, one note. He stands there. So at the end, he said, well, at least now everybody can play my part. So,
yeah.
And it all made sense, of course, you know, musically,
puts truth to the saying that less is more.
In that sense, yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Where did you learn to work on guitars and become kind of just, you know?
Well,
I don't know what I want to say. Like, not evil genius, but just kind of just crazy, just amazing stuff that you do.
It was really with Frank is where I in Austria back then. You know, we had the Country Gentlemen, same Gretsch that George Harrison had, you know, I bought a Beatle bass in London in 64, first time I went. London was the window to the world. It was Vienna Heathrow Airport, London Piccadilly. I saw Hard Day's Night 11 times in 2 days, and it was all right. It was all music stores, one next to the other, and I bought a Beatles bass, original Höfner, I sold it to in Austria for a guy for 300 shillings. We're talking about 30 bucks, and not knowing, whatever. I shouldn't even bring that up. That's the, you know, now.
Everybody's got those stories.
$10,000, you know. And anyway, but yeah, so I was always interested, but with Frank really is where I was thrown in the hot water, you know, and had to learn with the professionals, you know, on that crew, obviously. And, you know, Frank always so supportive, and that's how I really, you know, got into the whole. And Warren Cucurulla was certainly a huge inspiration with pedals and racks and stuff. He was the first. He got two Bradshaw refrigerators with the DMP7 Yamaha mixer, motorized, you know, already creating loops. And I mean, Warren, by the way, Cucurulla is another one of the chosen ones, for lack of a better term. He is, Frank Zappa said more than once, I didn't say, well, Warren, you're my most favorite guitar player. And Frank means what he says, and it's true. Warren cannot play the same thing twice. Musically, fantastic. I mean, in Missing Persons, you know, that band was so hot back then. And Dale, it all worked, it all fit, you know. Bozy, of course, you know, the whole. And I want to say this story with Frank, when after a year and a half, I was there, 2 years, when Bozio left, and I thought, wow, what's Frank Zappa going to do without Terry Bozio? Flamboyant, fantastic looking. You know, he always came on stage when he started, let's say he played without a shirt, like skinny, and while he was playing, he came out like a Hercules almost at the end. So really, you know, and it was not even for Frank's, whose concept always was that nobody's indispensable. You always, you know, and he, you know, not many people went through Frank's bands, but even had a hard time on that, and drummers came and so forth. But I remember the day on the auditions in Culver City, it was in Hollywood actually, at Zoetrope, when Vinnie Colaiuta walked in, sat down, 5 minutes, Frank silently walked over, shook his hand, done. And he was my roommate then for a year and a half when he got the gig with Frank, talking about nonstop drumming and playing. And Vinny is basically,
he's a monster. He toured for a while with Jeff Beck. And he's played with a lot of different.
He goes records with Faith Hill, always one take, okay? The others might take more. He goes the next day and records Megadeth. Because it's just, there's nothing. There's nothing.
He's amazing.
You know? And then, and like, Chick Corea, I think 90, whatever it was, at the Blue Note in Tokyo, Chick Corea, Peter Tucci, and him, forget it. I mean, you know, Vinny is just always. So that was for Frank also. And I remember to Bozio, Frank would say, well, do this or don't do, or, you know, sort of give direction. And with Vinny, never. And the best proof is Shut Up and Play Your Guitar, that album. Then it's how they play together.
Now, for of all the people that you've worked for, And I mean this in a positive way, what was the most demanding for you of as far as the gig, keeping it all together, all the equipment, all the, you know, that, I mean, what was the most complex setup?
Yeah, there were a few. I mean, with Warren, when he got the first rigs, and with Duran, we had a lot of gear. That was, you know, he knew what he was doing. Warren, razor blade sharp. It was nothing wasted or anything. But that was intense, yeah. Then with Dweezil, in 06 when I started, something was already there, so I sort of streamlined it a little bit to move it. It was, 6 feet maybe wide, the whole thing, the cornboard amps and what have you. But hey, then the next year, and you pay me $1 million, I would not do it again. We built the rig where he pulled from Frank's acoustic amp. Frank, I mean, it was like half the stage wide. With all switching, it was so. And in the back of the two racks, it looked like space shuttle trunk lines, you know.
Who built it? You built it?
Yeah, my partner at Goldia and myself. I could not do it.
Well, speaking of Dweezil, what is your feeling about the fractal system that he uses? Because he basically, he doesn't even use any amps anymore.
No. Like I said, 2 years with Dweezil, first with the Fuchs, and then Cornford, and then Fuchs amps. So we did heavy on amps and high, you know, high shelf amps, and all that good. And Dweezil always nailed it. He's most underrated guitar player. That's a good description for him, because he's so good. I could actually have my computer in my school room. It's safe. I could play you some clips later on from Guthrie soundcheck in Manchester, December 11th. Guthrie and Dweezil. Oh, just fantastic. But Dweezil, that was huge. And then the fractal came up, and he's down to 2 fractals, 4 guitar channels. That's all he has. A lot of pedals still, and the combination, you know, with the pedal switches. And
But do you feel he gets get the sound? It's not a problem?
He nails it with hundreds of hours with Matt Picon from Fractal on the phone, an East Coast guy with a family and 2 children. But Dweezil, you know, they nailed it. It's Dweezil pulled some unbelievable sounds. I wish I had some of them. The violin sounds, cello sounds that are beyond real. It's just,
but that system has made basically to get every sound that Frank had, right?
Yeah. They nailed all of them by song. They go in and with Matt and Dweezil, of course, he knows it by now pretty well as well. But it's, you know.
Well, you started working with Steve Vai back in '99.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you to him? And then I guess, you know, by your own admission, when I was over at your house, you know, you said Steve Vai is not impressed very easily.
No.
He's clearly very impressed with you because he's had you for 15 years. So what is it that you did that first year that just that blew him away?
Well, I mean, he knew me from Frank and my, you know, I always called him youngster. I still call him youngster. But, you know, so he knew how fervent and enthusiastic I get with music, instruments, and then the whole, you know, just fascinates me. So that was there, and then he knew I was with Warren. I didn't see much of him after when I left, and when he had Alcatraz started in Silma, when he lived, and his when Flexible and all those days. I did saw one show, and then the next time I actually saw him was the dress rehearsal for David Lee Roth at the Long Beach Arena with Billy Sheehan, who I didn't know who that was, and saw the Paganini brothers there rip it apart. It was unbelievable. And of course, for Steve, that was the to fill Van Halen shoes. That's about it.
Yeah.
So that was the best. And of course, then Whitesnake was just a little, okay, you know, it's on the same scale, you know.
Yeah.
But, and Steve's rig, it was never really complicated. I mean, he doesn't even know what he had. So when I came in, okay, well, this will put something together. He wanted that and that pedal, and it was never. We had even tight harmonizers in there, and then no massive switching. And today, it's like I said, a fractal for just the effects. We still use it. He wanted to actually start using a couple H9s, even tights, MIDI linked, and with a Gig Rig G2 pedal, which is really cool. Daniel Steinhardt in London, he became a really quality pedal as well. And let the fractal maybe home, but he's still using the fractal now. And then he's got the way it works, guitar goes into the wireless, from the wireless goes to the wah pedal, from the wah into his Gemini signature pedal, which he's still using. And he's using only one side, actually, the lighter overdrive. And from there, it goes back to No, it still goes to the Whammy DT, and from there it goes back into the front of the amp.
And when he uses the Whammy, he's got it set up for an octave above and below, correct?
Yes, that's one setting, and the other one is that's his setting that he uses on that one, and on the capo part, he goes up a seventh. He uses that also quite frequently.
Now, of all this, of all the equipment that you've seen with all these guys playing, you've probably played or worked with every pedal. What are your favorites?
Well, it's I can give a good answer to that. The favorite that I had the royal privilege that Guthrie Govan came to my house and played on my system for 3 hours plus. Right? I mean, the nicest guy. It looks like Jesus, and he's just about as humble, is not even a word. And he, when I was kind of nervous, him and Ed Yoon, the manager for the Aristocrats, they came, and I thought when they knocked on the door, I said, "Oh my God, what does Guthrie? He doesn't need one of these things here at all. Give him a guitar with two strings, and he'll because it is only, since there's no picture here, but between the finger and the string, that." That's where everything is, you know. What you emanate.
And one thing to mention for those of you who are not familiar with Guthrie, go to YouTube and check out him playing a fretless guitar and just playing it ridiculously good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
A Vigier, and he just I was there the day when he got it. I did a gig with him a couple of years ago at the NAMM show at Alva's in Long Beach, and he got it that day and picked it up and sort of looked at it and tuned it, and then he said, well, should I tune it? Well, why tune it? It's only got one fret. But he played everything right. The instant the guy is just, you know. And when he came by, like I said, favorite pedal, he was the only guy of all the people that I have come by and check out my system. He was the guy who said, First of all, I got a little episode here. He came in. I was quite nervous, you know. So I don't want to impress you or anything, but so I showed off, you know, by turning the whole system on from the guitar wireless, turn on the lights, dim them down, and the system comes in, and then just sonically gave some swishes and some, you know, some end of the world sound with no buzz and hum, of course. You know, it's dead quiet. Mm-hmm. So all this. So after a couple of minutes, I said, "So Guthrie, so what do you think? Is that okay?" He goes. He goes, "Thomas, you need more gear." and that broke the ice to where I picked up my phone. And I said, "No, please, you got to do that again for me." So, of course, he said something equivalent but different, very funny then on that. And then he said, "Well, do you want to try out the system?" He said, "Don't mind if I do." And so he sat down. I wanted to have him sit at the... At my behind the pedal board and everything. He said, "No, you sit there, and I'll go sit in the other chair. So and you run the pedals." And so I did. And boy, everything, whatever sound I dialed at random, I instant music. And oh, by the way, Mike Keneally, I have to mention him, of course. Forget it. Mike is another chosen one. God, we have a whole bunch of them here. He best described Guthrie. And I did a few shows with Guthrie over the years, and I've known him, I don't know, 3-4 years. He signed my guitar, of course, as well. That's when I met him first at NAMM. And we did for a bass player that passed away very young, Wes Wehmuller, also a good friend that Cucurullo had hired to play with Duran Duran. He was with Joe Travers' friend, and you know, he was with the Cats, you know. And... he passed away like I said at 36, and such a sad story here. I lost my train of thought here over that.
Well, since you were mentioning your system,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's we posted some pictures on the Facebook page of okay. this amazing right. rack and pedal system. Can you kind of give us in a nutshell what it's all about and what's on it?
Well, it's. The concept, I'll give you a quick rundown how this all came about. In 99, when I started with Vi, I had a Strat that I got part of my pay with Keneally. And, let me finish this one thought here. Keneally okay. said, when we played a gig at the Roxy, a benefit for this guy that died. I just got my mind back. There was the house band, Mike Keneally was playing, and the headliners were the Aristocrats with Brian Bella, Joe Trav, Marco Minnemann, and Guthrie. So in the afternoon, they sound checked and stuff. So Mike was on the keyboard, and you could hear it was like, you know, they both know about each other, of course, didn't meet before. And at the end of the night, after Frank Zappa's Zombie Wolf, the roof lifted off, them both ripping it, I said to Mike, "So what do you think about Guthrie?" He goes, his words were, "No hesitation." No hesitation. It took me a while to get it, but this is what it is. That guy, Guthrie, he never thinks of what should I, could I, or should I not play. It's just always instant music to whatever the sound. On my rig, you asked me about that, there's no such thing as a bad sound. Every sound has a place in the world, you know, I think. And I can go places, like I said, untouched, uncharted territory, and be creative, you know. With Vi, I brought that guitar. It had LEDs in the neck dots, front and side, a holographic pickguard and the neck, and it was flamboyant. He liked it, no locking nut. He said, "Can I play this on Little Alligator every night on the tour?" He did. At the end of the tour in 99, he asked me if I want to partake in design of a new Steve Vai model with all these things that guitar had. So, well, how can I say no to that? And but I said, "Do you want to not play a saxophone or a guitar?" Because I was a fan of the VG8 back then, of course. And he said, "Well, those things are never track right," which is the answer true till today, basically. But I got a fellow from Roland, Peter Swyden, to come over, show the VG88 and the GR33 back then. And Steve Peep said, "Okay, I'll give you some music." It was a project that Roland did called Guitar Masters. A whole bunch of guys playing these instruments and giving them their taste. And so accidentally, Roland sent two VG88s and two GR33s. So I ended up with two of those because I was curious to learn it and what have you. And over the 13 years, that rack evolved. And the concept is that I have a Super Strat, Stratocaster, Super Paul, Les Paul, Super Burger, Steinberger ZT3, and Super Fly, Parker Fly, and a few others, of course. Now the Antares powered Evo Relic that Steve gave me, but which is the most powerful technology in guitar to date, and I'll talk about that in a second. But why I say super to these guitars, I have the Classic, Les Paul, and Strat, right? So that covers nice grounds. And Steinberger, the latest creation, and the Parker Fly for the modern part. And they all have a hex pickup, or the Parker has now a triple Fishman's triple play, of course, wireless, polyphonic MIDI, hex pickup, Sustainiac, kill switch, and you have a 13-pin that's up and down, wah probe here. I got in Evex wah probe, radio wah built in. Steinberger tuners, by the way, which is nothing better in the world. Gibson bought Steinberger, so that's where they're available.
Yeah, these tuners are interesting because normal tuners, the post and the tuning knob is at 90 degrees. These are straight out. They're almost like banjo tuners, but you were saying they're 20 to 1 is the ratio?
40 to 1.
40 to 1. Okay. Because, yes. I mean, I think the biggest I've ever seen before that is Grover's might have been 18 or 20, nothing more than that.
No, they're really smooth. Everything is right. That Steinberg is just a genius, just like, you know, like Ken Parker or whatever. This is so smart. You get straight through, hold it, lock it down, and tune it up, cut, go. There's no winding. It's gearless. You know, it pulls. It's just a straight pull, which as far as bending the strings, it's better too. It's just on all counts, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's on here. Then here's the LSR nut, which is good. But on all my guitars, I will have the Jeff Beck, Trev Wilkinson nut that you only... I talked to Trev a couple times the last 2 years. He doesn't make them anymore. And in Japan, you get them. Goto, $100. They're not cheap.
So you've got your Super Paul here in your hands. Oh, Why don't you show us some of the features you were talking about, like especially the wah.
Oh, the wah probe. Well, I'll turn on the... Well, first of all...
Sustainer, everything you've got on there.
Most importantly, I'm not a guitar player, please, all right? I mean, I know my few Beatles songs, whatever, you know, enough to do the gig, but with that gypsy guy way back, I realized, no need really, you know, but with the Beatles, you know, I can, whatever. So, here you go. Whatever, we'll just do something. So this guitar doesn't have Antares autotune, but it's still very, very nice, actually, you know. It's a white Les Paul Dillion. A Japanese wonderful guitar that my luthier in Vienna, Michael Spalt, who is a genius also, absolute, he relic'd it a little bit just for the hell of it. And everything here matters. It's the Steinberger tuners. It's the LSR minimum friction nut. On this guitar, I put on a film to where the frets look black and white, respectively to where a keyboard, a regular standard tune keyboard, would have a C, everything on the C key is white and black. And interestingly enough, it turns around graphically in a really interesting pattern that reverses every time you go from fret to fret, giving quite a nice insight to the...
Yeah, I just want to mention that this is the guitar that we posted, the picture that we have on our Facebook page. This is the guitar, and you can see the fretboard with the black and white. So it corresponds to the white keys and the black keys of a keyboard.
And now he's clearly turned on the sustainer.
Sustainer's great.
Sustainer, high harmonics. Places, it's endless, you know. And with the system that I have, I do like the opposite. I mean, first of all, I'm 68, and my main red line in my life is I want to have as little as possible, not abandoning a really good lifestyle, but the lesser you have today, the richer you are. And that's stone cold the fact. I wouldn't trade with Trump.
I don't know. Your pedal board system is, that's not less. That's a
it
lot.
Contradicts. That's the only thing where I go everything.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's the only thing. And again, because the way my partner, 33-year-long Ed Clothier, electronics alter ego, he designed all the layout and stuff, and I materialized it and so forth. And he laid it out to where the system is so quiet and I can do anything, anytime, multiple looping situation, and I can go places that, you know, you can't help but create. Mm-hmm. If you can play, you're sold. You know, you don't want to stop.
Well, Thomas, why don't you show us the wah that is in your kill switch on there? It's so cool. Okay. Or as he calls it, the Mayday switch.
Yeah. Mayday. And now let's go the wah on top of it.
Now he's activating the wah by pressing down on the pickguard.
Not pressing, just getting close.
Oh, just getting. It's a sensor. Okay.
Radio antenna.
That's just great.
Right, and then I pulled the tone. See, I have rubber rings on all my knobs to crossfade the platforms, the synth. This guitar is a hex pickup, of course, as you see, which is by Osaka Guitar Garage, I think. A really cool pickup that is a humbucker and has built in the hex right there. So, anyway, so here we go. I don't have a hex. I keep thinking I'm plugged in here. But the wah probe is this. The sustainer is here, kill switch. And, of course, the guitar has the wireless inside the guitar. Line 6 is Guy Coker, genius. We are using, by the way, the wireless right now, so we don't clutter up the room here. So right here, quick change guitar batteries, 9 volts, super fast, no crackling going on. A general switch for the guitar to turn it on and off. And to turn the sustainer on and off, basically. And that's it. Plus the 13-pin platforms. Super, super low action on that one. And the tuner, if I pull the volume right here, tuner right here. Okay, when the sound goes off, see? And it's nice.
I believe that's the same tuner that Richie Kotzen uses, actually, on his tellies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, I just want to mention that what he's doing, with the sounds that he's generating... We're using our little Marshall in here, and it's on a clean sound. So all of the feedback and all that stuff is being done by the sustainer and all the effects that he's getting, like the wah and all that. That's from his guitar.
So Thomas, so behind you, you have an Evo replica that's probably one of the best birthday gifts that anybody's ever given.
My best one, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about that guitar and tell us about what you've been working on with Steve Vai on that regards with that particular guitar.
So this, I played that little She's a Woman, right? Because I'll show you what this guitar will do, the Evo, ATG-powered Evo. And ATG, I have to say this, since I'm here, let me just take off here my guitar quick. And what you have to do, then turn the wireless off, and because we'll turn the other one on, and turn the guitar off. Put it away. Put it right here, it's fine. No problem. So now...
So while he's switching, I should also mention that Thomas rides a scooter. The secret of his of how he can able to do this. He brought all three guitars he has with him on a scooter.
Oh yeah,
I'm still amazing by that.
I've got to get a picture of him leaving with us.
No problemo. Okay, as Homer Simpson would say. So I turn the wireless on this guitar. Okay, and and here we are done. Okay, so this guitar I have to turn the switch on because I don't plug a cable in. To have everything on, and here we are. Antares is off. This guitar also has the Steinberger tuners. Has I use no locking nut. Who needs that? You know, this is I park my capo right here. Steve Vai neck, scalloped frets here. The sustainer is right here, right where you play it. Nothing is out of the way. It's everything is right where you play on and off harmonics in and out. Right. This sustainer, by the way, doesn't work right. I have to shame. So I get no root, but nonetheless,
it's all the sustainer. And also, too, he's not using, he's not locking the nut. The nut is not locked.
And see, I can even go here. And that's the guitar. The way, now I turn Antares on, and it's good to know. First of all, Dr. Andy Hildebrand, my salute to this certainly genius and one of the nicer people who created Antares for the Singers. And I said to him, wow, you must have really helped the vocal industry. And he says, well, my brother though doesn't think so. But anyway, it's a thing, and he got it for guitar. And found out about him in 2012 at the NAMM show when PV entry-level model had that built in without the encoder buttons, which you see here, and a simpler version of it, too. But what this does is it has its own hex pickup. They're using the brand Shadow. It's like a mini humbucker. It's less noise floor than on the GK. They all work.
Can you use that with the Roland system? That hex pickup is compatible.
Yeah. That goes with the Roland as well. So this is it. In the back is the full blown Antares built in here with a chip that does 250 million add-ons in 1 second right here. Here we have the Sustainiac, Alan Hoover's Sustainiac, the creator of the Sustainer and the Sustainiac. Two batteries to run it. Here's the controls. Here's my remote control in my house. And I'll turn it on now. So let's check this out. What Antares does, it has various... For the guitar to be in tune, that's a given, okay? That's done. But it is intonated 1,000% all the time. Whatever you do, how you bend the strings, where you put the capo. If you don't even need a capo because it's got an electronic one. The G string gives you 12 semi-notes each fret. One semi-note higher, 12 semi-notes up. The B string, 12 semi-notes down. The low E string gives you 10 pickup sounds. Number 10 here is Steve Weiss pickup. And when they came to my house, I showed them my whole system, and they wanted to put in the guitar and said, well, you know, if Steve wouldn't like it, I said, well, I realized I had this guitar in my closet. I brought it out and said, well, look, if you mimic these DiMaggio pickups for Vibe and he tries it out, doesn't even think of what's that, and in the guitar that his oldest career guitar, that's the best first step to make to, you know, impress him or to make it work. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so they took that guitar, put it in, and I brought it last year in Holland when we did orchestra stuff, and I brought it along to show it to Steve, and the guitar player in the orchestra actually played it, and Steve, when I showed it to him, he was shaking his head. He said, this, you're killing me. And he tried it out a little bit, you know. I didn't know it. You have to learn, because the features are either the encoders or you plug in the iPad, which will be wireless. I have to say it loud. Obviously, it has to be. But you do it with fret control. Again, low E string gives you different pickups. Humbucker, classic, single coil, California, acoustic, all these different pickup sounds. This gives you different tunings, drop D, DAC, DAT, open E, A, D, G, open E minor, you know, all that. B, the G string capo, 12 notes up, 12 notes down. And then here on the high E string, you create patches that you combine with combinations from here. And then you create a fret by going a preset to the 20th fret, which is the counters, the scalloped ones. Hold this down, boom, like this. You would do that. And then go to the fret you want, what you just set it up to.
Can you go ahead and demo that?
So here's the guitar. That's normal. Now I turn Antares on, and I'm in the position, because Antares will always start with wherever the encoders are. I put them to that same thing. So here's Antares. If you had a tuner here right now, you could look at the tuner and would see the needle not believing it, but not leaving the center position. It's true, you know? Sustainer again, this note twice. Of course. Mayday. Mayday, mayday.
He's pressing a little button that basically shuts off.
Can you show the different tunings? Just swap it into like an open tuning?
Of course, my friend. Here we go. Check this out now. So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to turn Antares off and do here.
He's pulling everything out of tune.
So now this is the guitar now. Ouch. Okay. So we'll turn Antares on. Okay. We strum all the strings.
That's amazing.
So now I'm going to show it with the encoders. fingers. Later on, I show it with the fret control. But see, this is a pickup. I created here like open drop D. Here, I just change here. Now I want to go back.
Yeah, he's just playing an open string.
Now I want to go back to regular. All I do is open up, hold this down. Okay. Now I want to open E. I go to the third fret on the A. Hold it down. Okay. Now if you have a sustain and a slide, you rip it. You with a sustainer, right? That, you know.
So what do you think would happen if you gave this to some guy like Eric Sardines?
Oh, forget it. Forget it. I get it. Yes, you're so right. So check this out. So we have right now. We have open E, go back to normal. Okay, now I'm gonna go and make it 12 string, okay? The whole guitar. Okay, did I do it? Do it on the cape. Go. Let's say we go to a doubling and go to a. Let's see. Fifth up or fourth up.
Every time you hear that like loop and dip, he's hitting the Antares, and that's basically retuning.
Now here I use another. Here we go. Drop the octave down. Now you want to drop D on that. We go to the drop D. Tuning would be here. Right. Back to normal. Right. Now we get the capo. So here.
That's
all.
That's crazy. It's just the dial.
Better yet, hey.
It's playing at the first fret, like second fret.
So Thomas, tell us
what I'm saying is I could not tune the guitar like that. There's no way to have the guitar there tuned. There's no way, you know? And if you then make it like, check this out, I take the capo, give it a refresh, right? It will go, right now it will stay where it high. Back here. Now it thinks that's fret zero, you know?
So is this guitar, you delivered a guitar like this to Steve Vai just after NAMM this year?
Yeah, it was a closure in my life. 13 years on Monday, January 27th, the day after NAMM, the Monday after NAMM, the Antares team, Dr. Hildebrand and Henrik Bridger and his Dr. Hildebrand's wife, and Eric Ronette, he's the clinician. They came and we showed Steve the guitar, demoed it to him. We were there for quite a long time, for Steve, like over an hour. And Steve was blown away. He was.
So do you think this will be coming out on a future gen model?
Well, this is the idea. How can you not want that? I mean, if I turn it off right now, I'm so out of tune. That's a new music.
Okay. It's jazz now.
It's jazz. You're going outside.
Antares, of course.
That's Kelsey. It's right there, right on the money.
Yeah, and not that you need. So now, of course, you go on the B string. Let's go low. Check this out. If you on an amp, if you have a volume,
he's moved it an octave lower. It's almost like you could do a bass solo.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear the Marshalls screaming
but
right now.
You don't have a bass with a, right. with a whammy bar like that.
So, Thomas, we're coming to the end of the show. So tell us, When do you think the Sonica system will be out? And well, and tell us what we should expect from you in the future.
What's going to happen is this year is my goal, because I have the guitars delivered, to finish in the last 3-4 months to wire up my rack to where it's plug and play, to where it rolls out in 5 minutes, you know, all that. The 190 pin Elko, 256 Elko, 7 AC jumps, and 2 XLRs to the playback, and 4 or 5 guitars plugged in, ready to go. Right?
These guitars are amazing.
So how do people find out more about you? Well, you're going on tour here in like 2 weeks, aren't you, with Steve?
Oh, I'm going next Tuesday, a week from today.
And they're actually going to be doing, what, 19 shows in Russia?
We're doing in Russia. We do, yeah, 19. We go to Kuala Lumpur first, and then to Tel Aviv, and to I forgot one more city.
I think you said Dubai before, right?
No, Dubai. That's not happening this time. That was on the plan. Dubai and Ankara and Greece. Mm. But there's one more. I forgot. Oh, Singapore.
So you can. Thomas Nordig's on Facebook. You can follow him on Facebook. Do you have a website?
Not yet. But I will. When I'm done with this, I'm already in the works.
But you can check him out on, and we'll,
yeah.
I think
yeah,
we have the link on our Facebook
page.
Yeah,
you can find you'll see the videos that I did with him demonstrating the full Sonica system, and then videos that I've shot here today of him showing these different guitars.
We'll yeah, and stay tuned. We're going to post some pictures of these guitars. They're beauties, but you got to see him to understand what he's talking about.
So Thomas, we normally have outro music, but do you want to play like a little something for us on the way out? You know, not to put you totally on the spot, but show off.
Again, I'm not a guitar player. Let me see what.
Well, I know you got some good Beatles tunes in you.
Yeah, well, let's see what I know how to play.
And we want to thank our sponsor, Sweetwater Music.
Yes.
Okay. And then next week is Dick Boak from CF Martin Company. So that will be a fantastic show. And we definitely want to thank Thomas for coming on the show.
Yes.
And bringing these wonderful guitars with him.
And we're going to go take a picture of him on the scooter with 3 guitars. I got to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, we're going to leave you with him playing. And good night. We'll see you guys next week.
This. And now, go 12 notes up.